So that was a it was a surefire disappointment for me. But here we are. We have a good show today. And you know what it is today, guys?
Yes.
What is it?
It's Brutal Gamer Awards Day.
It is. Yes, that's what I was going to say.
Yay.
So, before we get to the meat and potatoes, if you will, of this show, we have a couple small news items to get through. And they're not actually that small, all of them. So, I guess let's get started with the first thing. Far Cry 5's Season Pass was announced. And kind of detailed.
Yeah.
So, what are you thinking?
It's interesting. There's, you know, I mean, it reminds me of, what was that, Blood Dragon, you know, where they just did, like, that real, like, out there DLC. So, I mean, that's kind of cool.
No, I agree. So, for anybody who's not aware, the Season Pass has three different parts. One of them takes you to Vietnam. One of them takes you to I guess, like, a zombie apocalypse. And the other one takes you to Mars. So, it looks neat. I think we talked about how we all feel about Far Cry at some point on this show. So, yeah, I don't know.
The first one was really good.
The least Far Cry game.
That was my favorite.
I like this picture you posted on the website. It's all like...
What?
Style. The season pass.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
It's cool. So.
That was actually... that was Aaron that wrote that story up.
Yay. Yeah. So, Super Mario Bros.
I got to ask you a question.
Yes.
Why is there a little crown next to your name now? I've never noticed that before.
I don't know.
You see that? In Discord?
Yeah, I see it. Jacked up.
Man.
I don't see it.
This is like a little crown.
Wow. I'm the king.
I guess so. All right.
Just kidding.
I'd like to also add that I actually find all three of these DLCs more interesting than the actual Far Cry. So,
well, yeah, I think that's fair.
And I was really into this game, the idea behind it, and I'm kind of like, bleh, now. And I don't know if I'm going to get it. But these DLCs look cool.
They do look pretty good.
That'd be funny if you bought the DLCs and not the Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, you're fine. Yeah, so Season Pass is announced. You can look at the story on the site. We don't know too much other than where they're going to take place, though.
Right.
Yeah, so that's good. Super Mario Brothers is getting a movie, and it is being produced by Mr. Miyamoto.
Yes, so that... and Illumination.
Oh, yeah. The Minion people.
That's right.
Do you guys like the Minions?
No.
Oh. Dang. I don't like them either, but I do like Rabbids, and they remind me of Rabbids. So,
do you think we will have a Mario Minions crossover?
I hope not. No, I would rather the Rabbids be in this movie.
They will.
The Rabbids are fun. The Minions are just dumb.
Like, yeah, no kidding. I think this has a pretty good chance of being decent, though.
Yeah. Well, you know. Oh, sorry, Rick. What?
No, I was just asking if you guys are excited for this.
Yeah, I think I'm excited for it. And I think that there's a better chance of Miyamoto shutting down the movie before it's bad.
Mm.
You know, they're very careful with their characters and their brand. I think that the movie's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And we're not even going to talk about the 80s live-action Super Mario movie.
You know, there's a disturbing number of people who like that movie.
I like that movie.
You know what?
Oh my God.
I'll keep my mouth shut.
It's a good flick. You guys probably didn't like Double Dragon either, did you?
I never saw it.
You guys ever see you guys ever see The Pest?
Yes.
No.
Oh yeah. What a good movie.
That is I a doubt good flick.
Yeah, that's coming. The Switch's official online capabilities, or whatever you want to say it, are coming in September 2016. Yep. So that's cool.
Yes, sort of.
Sort of. We're going to get a pseudo virtual console. You can pay to play online then.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know whether it's going to be an actual virtual console or just like a couple of games that you get per month. I'm not sure.
I think it's going to be that one.
Yeah.
What if they were all Neo Geo games?
That's fantastic.
It's actually that a Neo Geo pass.
That would make me so mad.
I wonder how many people would buy in for the Neo Geo pass.
4 people.
Total. That's a total number.
Yeah, I think only 4 people play this.
So, yeah, Switches Online is coming in September of this year, unless it gets delayed again.
Which it might, you never know.
It could, yeah. And last but not least, for our news section, is the Nintendo download for this week.
Yeah.
Ugh. Sorry, got the yawn going. Doesn't matter what time of day we record, I'm going to be yawning.
Apparently not.
Yeah, I'm opening up this story right now. But I think it was another pretty good week for the download.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Crypt of the Necro Dancer is the big one.
And that's okay.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that at all. But, you know, I know it's a decent-sized game. It's got people who like it, so.
There's a Batman game on the Switch this week.
What?
Yeah, the Dark Side Detective. That's Batman, right?
No.
Oh. Well, I've been tricked.
They fooled you.
It's a ruse.
Damn it.
The first SteamWorld Dig is coming out on Switch this week, so that's cool. We
also what we talked about. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say what we talked about last week, Mercenary Kings Reloaded, which I'm actually interested in.
Oh.
That's it.
Okay. We got a newer Neo Geo game, Samurai Showdown 2.
Showdown.
There's no W.
Huh?
There's no W in this game's title.
What? Yes, there is.
No, there isn't.
Oh my god. Did they leave the W out?
Yeah, I'm on the official web page right now. There's no.
Oh, double. Get out of here! Oh no!
Samurai Showdown 2. mini golf.
Great.
We got Black Hole, Dark Side Detective, 10 Second Run Returns, a Tierno Blade, a demo of that game, Frederick 2 Evil Strikes Back. That sounds like a winner. Her Majesty's Spiffing, Island Flight Simulator, Mad Carnage. Mercenary Kings Reloaded, like you just said. Shiftlings Enhanced Edition. Skyforce Reloaded. SteamWorld Dig. Now I know my ABCs too. That's on the 3DS.
I know you're getting that one.
Radiant Historia. Perfect Chronology. Gets a demo for the 3DS. The Wii U actually has 3 releases this week.
Weird.
Toon War. Battle Chopper. And Necromancer. So, that's where we stand with those games. Are you guys getting any? You guys going to get any of these 3 games?
No.
Oh. All right.
No.
No, I'm not getting any of these either.
There you go.
Garbage.
I, you know what game came out this week and I don't have any interest in playing? Night in the Woods.
Oh. Yeah, it looks neat.
I don't want to,
but no.
Free. So that's where I stand. I'm an anti person. It's not me. So, all right, are you guys ready for the main portion of this show?
We have to over Eric.
What?
Oh, no, Eric.
I can't.
Come on.
I'm not skilled enough.
Aww.
And the quality would probably not be great coming through on this microphone anyway. So we got some
terribly disappointed.
I know. I'm a disappointment to everybody that I come into contact with.
Oh, Jesus.
So we have the Brutal Gamer Awards. This is the award show. We're going to have our talking points. So I guess we start with the Jason, how do you want to do this? I guess we start with our genre bests.
Yeah, we'll start with the genre bests and we'll run through it. I mean, how Rick has it laid out is actually seems pretty good. And we'll end with, like, you know, the game of the year and, you know, platform of the year.
Okay, cool. So, for our genre bests, all right, we're doing this live. This is
yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
So, how do you guys want to do this? Do you want me to read or one of us to read the nominations and then someone else will read the winner?
Sure.
Okay, cool. I guess I'll read the nominations for this list.
Okay. You're starting with Best Action Game?
Starting with Best Action Game.
Cool.
So the nominees for Best Action Game were Resident Evil 7, Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor, Horizon Zero Dawn, Metroid Samus Returns, and Hellblade. And the winner was...
Resident Evil 7.
Oh yeah.
Now this one was kind of interesting, just that I agreed with you. Where I don't know if Resident Evil 7 really qualifies as an action game, but I wouldn't know what other category to put it in, so
honestly, there aren't enough other games for a, you know, like a horror category.
Yeah.
So I think this is fine for action.
Yeah. Okay.
I know you guys didn't play this game, but it was one of my favorite games of the year. And I'm happy to see it win something.
Cool. What did you like about it so much?
Oh my gosh. It was just such a stylish and competent return to the series roots. You know, the original Resident Evil was known for being creepy and scary and kind of claustrophobic. This was the same way. You're stuck in a house and your main objective is to get out of the house at the beginning. Then you have to look your wife or whatever, and like, it was crazy from there. But it was a really, really competent return to form for the series, and it was so fresh, and there was just so much to it. Like I said this in one of my stories, I played this game through like 7 times in a row when it came out last year.
That's amazing.
Like, some days it would take me a couple days to get through it, but other days, like when I was done work for the day, I would just sit down. I would just play 2.5 hours of Resident Evil and play through it.
Wow.
So, yeah. Well, when you know how to get through it, it's quick. You can just run through it, basically.
It goes that fast?
Yeah, if you're quick and you know, like, the routes and everything. Like, you don't have to fight a ton of enemies, and if you have the right weapons, you can just chainsaw the room. So but it's fun.
Cool.
Okay. Best first person shooter.
Oh boy.
Wolfenstein, The New Colossus, Call of Duty World War II, Splatoon 2, Star Wars Battlefront 2, and Doom for the Switch.
And much like our game of the month from a few months ago, Doom 1.
Huh. I forget what I voted for this one. To be fair.
Well, Doom got the most votes, so. that was it.
I think it's interesting that it didn't beat The New Colossus.
Yeah. That is kind of interesting. And one of the things I mentioned when I wrote this up was New Colossus or not when I wrote this up, but I wrote a different article up. New Colossus is coming to the Switch this year, and it will be interesting if the same exact thing happens next year and we vote for New Colossus.
That's really funny.
I mean, you know, to be very honest, I did not play Star Wars Battlefront 2. I didn't play that much of New Colossus, so I felt like I couldn't go that route. Splatoon 2, I just didn't think it was deserving of this. And Call of Duty World War II, I had the option to change my vote at the last minute to that because I did play a good chunk of that this month, but it's not that great. I mean, just to be perfectly honest. And just the idea that Doom, that Bethesda did what it did with Doom to get it on the Switch, it's impressive in and of itself. And the game is still really great. So I don't feel bad I voted for it.
Cool. Well, I know it's a port. It's still a good game. So there it is. Got a frog in my throat today.
Watch Ooh. That.
No, I know. Don't want to go in any deeper. Like no. an egg, and then I'd have a little tadpole swimming around in my belly.
That's frightening.
Good images for Sunday. I am amped up today, guys. I'm sorry. We got the best RPG or strategy title. Nominees were Mario and Rabbids, Kingdom Battle, Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, Halo Wars 2, Persona 5, and Xenoblade 2. I guess you, I
Take
you can get one.
A guess. That would be Breath of the Wild taking our best RPG or strategy title.
Which is interesting, because this isn't exactly an RPG.
Not really.
But
sort of. That's, not really.
It's like an adventure game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
But, I mean, it's still a great game. So.
Yep.
Yeah, we all played this. What do you guys think?
Amazing game.
Yeah. I think as I mentioned a while ago, I had more fun with Mario Odyssey, but I would have voted for Breath of the Wild over Mario Odyssey if they were both in the same category. It's just that kind of similar to Doom. What was done here with this game was amazing, and unlike Doom, of course, this is an original Nintendo title, and I don't think they could have picked a better game to launch the system with.
Oh my gosh, I know. I think that this was even was an even better choice than Mario would have been to launch the system with.
Definitely.
Just the scope of this game really proves what the console can do. And it's longer, too. So if you bought the console on launch with a game and it was this, this would last you a lot longer than Mario would have. So that's cool.
And also, you know, during the summer months, there weren't a ton of games, but like this in and of itself would have been enough to carry you through.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Even if we were still waiting on another big title, I think people would start be getting a little annoyed now.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it would be that, like, you know, enough. Sales wouldn't be what they are, but for gamers, I think.
Yeah.
Best indie title. Cuphead, Hellblade, Tooth and Nail, Immortal Redneck, and This is the Police. Rick, do you want to do the honors for this one?
Yep, and the winner is Cuphead.
Yay.
Studio MDHR. Everybody loves this game. We all love it here. It's a fun little 2D side-scroller for anyone familiar with it. It's got couch co-op, hard as hell, and it has a unique art style to it that's reminiscent of 1990s. Cartoon. So, yeah, what's there not to say about this game? But
it's awesome. I was just playing this last night with a buddy who was visiting from Connecticut, and I didn't know that he had played it on PC. So we booted up and tore through the first world, and we died only like once or twice. It was great.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Also, spoiler alert: we're going to be saying Cuphead a lot.
Yes. Really?
Yes.
So yeah, that's a good game, and I'm sure we're going to talk about it more later. Best family or kid-friendly title. We have nominees: Super Mario Odyssey, Crash Bandicoot Trilogy, Super Lucky's Tale, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, and Sonic Mania. I bet you guys can guess.
Yeah, take a shot on this one, too. It's Super Mario Odyssey. I don't think there was really a better all-around game for kids, adults, basically anybody, this past year than Mario Odyssey. Lots of playability, really neat new ideas, just good stuff.
Seriously, no, it's awesome. Awesome to see. Our miscellaneous category, and we're going to be talking more about Mario Odyssey later, so I'm not killing myself to talk about this game. No. Miscellaneous. The nomination category says it's itself. We got Injustice 2, Cuphead, Tekken 7, Sonic Mania, and ARMS. Rick?
Yeah. The winner is Injustice 2.
Wow!
A sequel to the great Injustice title by NetherRealm. What's there not to say about this game? Well, it's a great fighting game. A lot of great. We're all waiting for the next Ninja Turtles game trailer. So, I don't know. They did a really good job with this. The story is all right. It's not as good as the first one. The graphic.
You see, I don't know. Sorry about my throat, guys. I actually really liked the story in this one.
Did you?
Yeah.
I thought it was awesome. I still don't think it was nowhere near.
Right. No, I gotcha. All right, guys. We're moving on to part two of this list. Most innovative. We don't really have a list of nominees for this one. But yeah. I bet you can guess what it is.
Because there was like one massive, overwhelming winner.
Yeah.
And that, of course, would be Breath of the Wild.
So, why is this game innovative in your guys' eyes?
Well, to me, it's just the amount of stuff that you could do and the way it shook up the Legend of Zelda series. Because it did that quite a bit. And then this is pretty different, I think, for a Zelda game. So, yeah. And also cooking.
Cooking.
Yeah. So. No, I agree with you on this one. You know, just the way that you could go anywhere and do anything, and your only limitations were, you know, how good you are at not getting hit, how much stamina you have, and the weather, really, because you could freeze to death or
melt. Right, there's another one, the weather system.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I just really enjoyed this
game. The whole approach to getting the Master Sword, too.
Oh, yeah.
So,
honestly, the whole game was just incredible. Woo! We got Best Music and or Voice Work. Nominees are Cuphead, Middle-Earth, Shadow of Mordor, Persona 5, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, and Resident Evil 7. And the winners are
Cuphead.
Oh.
Whoa.
And Persona 5.
Okay. So both of these games have incredible voice work. Not voice work. That's silly. Music. Yeah, yeah. The Cuphead perfectly captures the music that goes along with the 1930s cartoons. Persona 5 is the, you know, the Japanese pop music. It's great. It's a lot of fun.
This is also the third win for Cuphead this year.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, and I think I see a fourth coming up. Best graphics. Not really a list of nominees because it seems like all the votes were tied between two titles. So,
What were they?
Oh, yeah. Rick, what were they?
They were the PS4 exclusive Horizon Zero Dawn and Cuphead.
Woo!
Woo!
Man,
what's there not to say again about Horizon Zero Dawn? This game is freaking... this was on my list, and I mentioned the game for its graphics. There's, throughout the game, there's just multiple times just kind of caught looking, kind of just watching unfold in front of you. Yeah, and I was just playing on a normal PS4, so I can only imagine it's better to be on a PS Pro. Yeah, this game is... Yeah, this game was... there's not many bad things. So, if you do have a PS4 and you don't have this game, I would highly recommend it. And then again, just Cuphead, one of the most unique games that have been developed. It was all hand-drawn. So,
game looks incredible.
It's amazing.
Cool.
So those are the best graphics.
There we go.
Deserving.
Best story. We got Resident Evil 7, Middle Earth Shadow of War, Persona 5, Wolfenstein the New Colossus, and Hellblade. And the winner is... winners?
Persona 5.
Ooh.
And Shadow of War.
There we go.
We had a lot of ties.
Yeah, we do. I didn't play either of these games, so.
I thought you played Persona 5.
No.
Oh, I haven't played that either.
I haven't either.
Oh, well then.
So, but people like it, damn it.
Yeah. Well, Shadow of War, it had a pretty good story. I rather enjoyed that one. Stars everyone's second favorite ranger in the Lord of the Rings universe.
Yes.
Good old Talion's back, teaming up with Celebrimbor to take on Sauron. And, along the way, they meet Shelob.
They meet who? You cut out.
Shelob.
Oh, the spider.
Yeah. Spider queen.
Woman thing.
To remember, she's a wizard. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's a great story. Gollum's back. It's kind of predictable towards the end. So...
I hate.
You hate Gollum?
Yeah, he stinks. Why? I don't like him.
I know he literally stinks, but he's a pretty good guy. Kind of, not really.
No. I'm sure he smells like fish. Like, yeah. Really terribly.
Oh, man. I bet he has the worst breath ever.
Oh.
But yeah, so, I don't know. The only bad thing about this game is once you get to a certain part, it's kind of like a story ending, but there's like a better ending, per se. You have to play the defense tower. It just takes a long time. And I haven't quite gotten there, so I haven't got the best ending. The most
awesome. So we got best multiplayer: Splatoon 2, Battlefront 2, Call of Duty World War 2, Ghost Recon Wildlands, and Doom on the Switch. And the winner
is Splatoon 2.
Yay!
So this was a really fun game. I thought I had a good time with this, but I had a good time with the original, and this is pretty much the original. So, but it's on the Switch, and there you go. But it's a fun game. I was actually surprised to see the when we talked about a couple of weeks ago that the sales were not as high as I thought they would be. But it's very worthy of your time if you're looking for a quick fix and something fun and colorful. It's good stuff.
Honestly. I agree. It's a lot of fun for multiplayer. So, biggest surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Any idea?
Well, could it be Sonic Mania? Because that was really good. Or maybe Cuphead? Because it finally arrived and it was great?
No,
No? What was it?
It's not about...
It was the Switch's big first year.
Okay.
Oh, you don't sound very surprised.
No. This is another one. I think this got all the votes. I voted for it, but it was like, I don't know why this was a surprise, but when you do think about it, and I know for me, before the Switch came out, I wasn't 100% sure that it was going to be the juggernaut that it turned out to be. I was a little worried about it because it seemed like the launch lineup wasn't there. It was very small. Seemed like there was no virtual console, which was something that I was really looking forward to. more on that in a few minutes. But that didn't matter. None of it mattered. Cause it sold like almost 5 million, units, through the holidays, and it's doing really, really well. And there's huge games on it. The holidays brought in tons of big games. And now we've got more this year, so it's just doing great. And I couldn't be happier with it. It's my most played console this year.
Awesome. That's great to hear. I like seeing the huge sale numbers and how everybody's coming back to Nintendo.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Especially after the Wii U. Yeah.
What a dumpster fire.
The PU, am I right?
Ha!
Oh, I like it. I don't get it, but I like it.
That's right. That's all you have to do. Just like it.
So the biggest letdown for this year, Jason, I feel like you are personally struck by this much more than I am.
It hurts me. It hurts me. And I don't appreciate it. And that Nintendo just continues to deny me my virtual console. Just it hurts my heart. It really does. And that was our winner, quote unquote, this past year. No virtual console on the Nintendo Switch. And I still don't really see evidence of there being one. It's like there's going to be a half-assed virtual console when this online system launches. And I'm not pleased with that. I want my Nintendo, I want my Super Nintendo, I want my TurboGrafx, I want my Genesis games. Just release the freaking virtual console. Thank you.
Yes, I agree.
I do too.
Yeah, we all want this. This isn't something that like only one person wants. This is, we all desperately want this.
Yeah, it's not just me.
Really?
It's not just me in the entire world. It's just me. No.
Could have fooled me by the lack of it existing.
I am hoping that something is announced around E3. We'll see. You know, I'd love to see this kind of be a surprise, and maybe it gets announced at E3 and it hits when the online system launches. You know, and like the online system basically gives you access to, you know, like a free virtual console game every month, you know, something like that. I'd love to see something like that, but I really don't see it happening. So, yeah, that's my take.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, time for the console bests. Before we move on to the personals and then the best console and game of the year. So I guess we'll do each person who did each.
Sure.
Console. So does that mean you want to go first, Jason?
I got it all queued up so I can go. Cool. So the Switch had a ton of really, really great games this year. Lots of big blockbusters, lots of nindies, lots to like. Period. So this was an incredibly easy list of nominees to assemble, as you might imagine. Not all of them are listed here, but we basically voted from a pool of fantastic games. So we'll start with number five. We'll work our way up to number one. Number five, we've got Battle Chef Brigade. If you are not familiar with Battle Chef Brigade, I was also not familiar with Battle Chef Brigade. So. Don't feel terrible, though. I think Rick would probably try to make me feel terrible because he says it's a great, great, great game. It's kind of, now correct me if I'm wrong, but it's kind of like a side scroller and a puzzle game.
Yeah, that is correct.
Okay.
Two elements to the gameplay.
And you're trying to join like a like an army, right? But as the chef?
No. It's like a Iron Chef.
Oh, Iron Chef. Oh, okay.
The competition, I believe, is called the Battle Chef. Or you're part of the Battle Chef. Iron Chef. And so what happens is you take on someone, you battle them, and what happens in the first element of the game is you have to go collect ingredients, so you kind of run out. And while you're collecting ingredients, there's monsters that are out in the 2D hack and slash game. And
so okay.
You fight these monsters, you kill them, you collect their ingredients, and then you go back and you start to cook. And when you're cooking, it turns into like a Street Fighter Puzzle Fighter. You, like, match the color to collect more orbs, the food.
That's really awesome.
It's a completely
cool.
Yeah, it sounds really fun. Might have to be one they check out, definitely.
I will.
Moving on to number four, we had Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle. This was a surprise for me because I wasn't expecting this to be as good as it was, and I really got sucked into this game. I thought it was fantastic. It is a turn-based strategy game that pairs Mario with Rayman's Raving Rabbids, which it just sounds like a good pairing. It doesn't make any sense at all as to why it would happen, but it just sounds like a good pairing, and it is. Basically, there's a rabid spin on the Mushroom Kingdom. Things get kind of warped around, and there's tons of nods to Mario games. There's really fun battles that you have to engage in. It's surprising, but it's also really, really good. And one of my favorite Switch games of the year, actually. Number three, we have Xenoblade Chronicles 2, which, Eric, you know a little something about this one, don't you?
Yeah, I do. So this is actually on my list, so I'll talk about it when we get to it there.
Okay.
But I do. It's good.
Cool. So it's like a huge RPG, and should definitely keep you busy, if you're into that. Number two on our list, getting there. Don't give it away yet. Number two was Super Mario Odyssey. Like I said, I had more fun with Super Mario Odyssey than any other game on the Switch this year. But I would not have voted for it for Game of the Year on the Switch. And the sole reason for that is Game of the Year on the Switch for Brutal Gamer is The Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild. I don't think there's any other game that could have been, and that includes Odyssey. Breath of the Wild is too big, too grand, too well made. This is a game that any fan of adventure, role-playing, even though it's not really a role-playing game, as we said, action even, exploration, this game makes good on The Legend of Zelda's constant promise of exploration. That's probably the biggest thing for me. This actually makes good on that. And I can't say enough good things about it. So if you have a Switch and you have tons and tons and tons of free time, because you will need it, check this out. It's great.
I agree with that. It's a really good one. Okay. Moving on to the PlayStation exclusive games of the year. So this list was actually pretty easy to put together as well, just because PlayStation has a lot of exclusives. So here we go. Number five is Pyre. Now this is a game from Supergiant, which is the studio that made Bastion and Transistor, I think.
Mm.
Maybe not Transistor, but definitely Bastion. I can't think of the other game they made. But this is kind of like a visual novel slash sports RPG kind of game. It's a lot of fun. What you do is you're in this wasteland, and it's a narrative, and you go through, and you have to go to these rites and you have to perform these rites, and basically there are these weird basketball games against other tribes of people, I guess. Yeah, that's fine. And then that's it. It's short and sweet. Well, not short, but it's fun. It's a good time. So that comes in at number 5. Number 4 is Uncharted Lost Legacy. This, a lot of people probably put this higher on the list, but I don't consider this a full game. A lot of people think, you know, this is like a full game, but it's, I have a hard time seeing it that way. It wasn't priced as a full game. It wasn't any of that.
Yeah, I agree with you, by the way.
It's it doesn't star Nathan Drake. It takes place in the Uncharted universe, but it stars Chloe and Nadine. Chloe from Uncharted 2 and 4. I don't think she's in 3. And Nadine from 4. And it's a lot of fun. It's more Uncharted. It's a little bit more wide open. But it's a little longer than Uncharted 1, apparently. So, here we go.
Oh, is it? Wow.
That's what I heard.
Okay. Yeah.
Number 3 is Nier Automata, which is a robot RPG where you play as a robot. I don't really know too much else about it, but I know that it was pretty critically acclaimed. So, that comes in at number 3.
Who voted for that?
Probably Ben. He loves that game.
Number 2, Horizon Zero Dawn. Which, you know, is this great-looking game about hunting robot dinosaurs, basically. Yeah. PS4 exclusive. And then Persona 5. You know, we've talked so much about Persona 5 so far. Great aesthetics, great style, great music. It's a heavy RPG. It's a life sim. There's a lot to love there. So,
good lord.
Yep, there's a lot to that game. So, there we are. There are PlayStation games. I kind of tore through those real quick, but, you know.
We've got a lot to get to.
We do. Rick?
Yeah. Yeah, bust through these.
Oh, yeah.
These are console exclusive and a couple exclusives. There's Xbox didn't have a great year for titles. So, let's run through these. The first one was Halo Wars 2. Halo Wars, the first one, has a shooter, a little RTS. It's a very fun game. I know a lot of people. Introduced a new faction. And then next up was Rise and Shine. This was an 2D side scroller, and you play as Rise with your sassy talking gun Shine. We actually reviewed this on the site. We gave it a 91. It was a really fun game.
Looks so good.
Yeah, there's a lot of funny parodies game too. The whole game's a parody of video game world. So you Conch for Mario. It's a great. Next up is Path of the Exile. This is a free to play game. But don't let that scare you away. It's packed full of content. It is a Diablo-esque isometric game as well. And you just kind of go through dungeons and try to collect loot, try to build up a really kick-ass character. I've played this game some. It's a lot of fun to play co-op, so I would definitely recommend that up. Next up would be Super Lucky's Tale. Again, this was a 3D platformer. Jason actually reviewed this game as well. He enjoyed it.
It did.
It's a cute little story, you know, kind of similar to Banjo-Kazooie. Or, I don't know, what would you say?
Yeah.
Crash Bandicoot kind of adventure, I should say. I didn't mean it.
Yeah, it's like a Banjo-Kazooie is fair. You know, Banjo-Kazooie, Super Mario 64, that kind of thing. I actually voted for this for our kid-friendly game of the year because I thought it was a little bit more accessible than Super Mario Odyssey, but it's an easy playing game, we'll put it that way. I really enjoyed it though. I thought it was really fun, and I think that it's a good title to have on the Xbox, and And to have more kid-friendly stuff is not a bad thing. You know, as much as I'm not going to play every kid-friendly game that comes out, it's a good thing, I think. And that's, I actually really enjoyed this. So
there you go. There you have it. And then finally, our game of the year for Xbox is Cuphead.
Ta-da!
You know, we've been talking about Cuphead now for, an hour, 15 minutes. Comes and goes. It's won our most awards. I could probably gush on about this game. It's just a great game. Again, we've already talked.
And I understand it took more than 100 years to develop?
Sure seemed like it. anyone unfamiliar with this game, it was first talked about in 2014. And I think the studio got a little excited. They kind of promised year. And then we saw just month after month of delays. And then it almost started becoming a legend if we were ever going to see it. And then finally, game saw the light of day in 2017. It's pretty much swept our Brutal Gamer Game of the Year awards. So, there you have it. There's your Xbox Games of the Years.
Good cool. stuff.
Yeah, awesome. Now we're going to go through some personal lists. Starting with Michael, who is not on the podcast, but put together a top five list.
He did do a podcast once with us.
He did. He was on once.
Once.
That was before the reboot.
It was. Oh, right. That was the former continuity. I shouldn't even mention that. I'm sorry.
The former continuity.
That was the old continuity. That was in New 52. Now we're in Rebirth.
Yep, that makes sense.
So, I guess we'll just run through Mike's list real quick.
Yeah.
We have Super Mario, his games of the year. Super Mario Odyssey, Splatoon 2, Breath of the Wild, Mass Effect Andromeda.
Ooh.
And Persona 5. Runners-up, Etrian Odyssey 5, ARMS, Tooth and Tail, Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle, and Floor Kids, that breakdance game. And then he says games that he wished he had time to play, Nier Automata, Neo, I guess, South Park, The Fractured Butthole, Gravity Rush 2, and Wolfenstein 2, New Colossus. The most played games of the year, Splatoon 2, Persona 5, Rise of Nations, Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, and Etrian Odyssey.
He spent 125 hours or more playing Splatoon 2. Wow. Good Lord.
My.
It's a lot of time.
Yeah, it is.
He also mentions Titanfall 2 here also, even though it came out last year, or not last year, 2016. And that was a great game. Just throw that in.
Cool. I missed that at the very end there, but awesome.
Yeah. He's just noting that he played a lot of that in 2017. I can see why. It's a good game.
Do you guys want me to go first, or do you guys want to go first?
You can go first.
All right, I'll go first. If I can find my list.
Why don't you just go first?
Bring us home, Eric.
Bring us home?
I mean, well.
All right, number five. I gave Cuphead. Yay.
Yay.
So surprising.
Yeah, it's on my list. What a crazy world that we live in. Number four, I gave Xenoblade 2, Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Like I said earlier, this is a huge, sprawling RPG. Tons of character interactions, tons to explore. There's so much to do. The combat's great. The combat's intuitive. Tons of different weapons. It's just a lot of fun. There's not much else for me to say about that there. Super Mario Odyssey came in at number three. You know, we all said this is a great game. And my number two, I think, is going to surprise some people.
Yeah, because I thought this was going to be your number one.
Yeah, I really struggled. At the end of the day, I couldn't Fuck the social norms. Number two was Resident Evil 7. Like I said before, when this game came out, I played through it 7 times in a row without popping in another game or anything like that. This game was a huge return to form, and I absolutely loved it. Number one was Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
This game just innovated too much for me not to give it number one. I played through it. I didn't completely play through it, but I started 2 playthroughs this year. You know, it's just a great game. So much to do.
Eric, do you know, how did Resident Evil 7 do at retail? Do you know if it was a retail hit?
You know, I just saw numbers the other day. And it made like, it sold like 6,000 copies. Or not 6,000, jeez.
Good lord.
6 million copies.
Oh my gosh.
6 copies?
Wow. No, 6 million or something. I'm not sure the exact numbers, but it wasn't like a ton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think for what the expectations were, it was fine.
Now, do you think, and I'm sorry I'm asking about your number two game, but it's more interesting right now than the number one. Do you think there will be another Resident Evil like this, or do you think this is going to be kind of like, oh, well, it didn't sell like, you know, the most games ever, so let's go back to the action-y formula?
Well, I sure hope it does. So I hope there is another one, because what the way this game, the series sells, looking at the 4, 5, and 6, 5 sold more than 4 because 4 was incredible. 6 sold, I think, more than 5.
Wow.
Because people saw 5 and they're like, okay, this kind of has horror, but at least the gameplay is still good. Well, 6 wasn't, had none of that. The 6 wasn't scary. The gameplay wasn't good. It was ridiculous. So I think that burned a lot of people when 7 was coming out. I think people were quick to not trust it. So I think if you read interviews with Capcom, I think they're happy with what it did at retail.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that's the way it sits.
You know, also I have to say, and I started playing 6, and I did find some things to enjoy in there, but one of the main things that really put me off of Resident Evil 6 was the incredible playtime. I mean, it apparently it's like, I don't really know this for sure, but I think it's like 4 like almost full campaigns.
Yeah, and no, that, it is. That's true.
That's too long.
Because I just played these games like last year.
Okay.
4, 5, and 6. I played them like right in a row. And I played six with a friend. So it made it better.
But yeah.
It was rough.
I mean, for me, that's just too damn long.
Yeah. That's totally fair.
Yeah. I don't have time for that. So don't do that again.
So there we go. All right.
Nice.
Rick, take us through your list.
All right. So I had a rough time as well, but I thought this was one of the best years ever for video games. So that should say something. But anyway, we'll start off with Shadow of War. I loved this game. I thought it was great. I was really excited for it, and it pretty much lived up to all my expectations, except when you get towards kind of have to grind through the castle. You know, it is what it is. Next up was, for me, would be Cuphead. Again, spoken a lot about this on every. Next up for me was Horizon Zero Dawn. This game was, like I said before, just looks amazing. The story was great. The gameplay is, it's not very often that you get a bow and arrow guns or
right
space or whatnot. So to have to play for the bow and an arrow, I was kind of hesitant at first, but then, you know, as you play the game along and get these other weapons that still have to do with your bow and arrow, but they have different subsets of them. Just a really fun game. Beautiful as well. Next up for me was Zelda Breath of the Wild. Love this game. I played the crap out of it. Played a lot of it. Probably 2. Again, we all love this game because of the innovation. I love the cooking part, and that cooking part takes me to my game of the year. Viva La Brigade, the Battle Chef Brigade. So You know, I had to wrestle with this. I love Zelda, but I just, the Battleship Brigade, when I saw the trailer for this, I just knew I had to have this. And it's just so unique. And I just can't stop talking about it. I probably have a whole podcast about it by myself. But, I mean, it's just fun. You can pick it up and play it for like 20 minutes, sit it down and move on to do something. I've already been about it. I probably wrote, looks like 400 words about why I thought it was my game. So, yeah. If you haven't played it, I highly recommend it.
Awesome. Cool. Very cool. All right, Jason?
Yes, sir.
You are up.
All right. So, my list is a little bit different. This is, I want to make sure everybody understands before I get into this, that this is not, and they probably do because we've been doing personals here. So this is not like the games that I think are the game, you know, like my top game is not what I would pick for game of the year, as you will find out. But it was the games, these are the games that I had the most fun with this year. So just a little caveat before we dig in, because number five, and I actually could not have seen myself voting for this game a couple of months ago, but I played it a lot. Actually, this month, January, last month, January, and I really liked it. And that's going to be Call of Duty World War II.
Ooh.
Hey, listen. Hey, now it's got some problems. The big, huge set pieces that Call of Duty is known for have zero impact at this point. And I mean, like, zero. There was a huge, huge event in this one map that I was playing through, and it just came off like nothing. Like I watched it happen, and I was like, "Eh," and so it's not like these huge moments that are planned to be huge moments have zero impact. At least for me, they did. And so and I think that's probably fatigue as far as the game goes. But it just that's it. So there's that. The characters, Call of Duty has really never had tremendous characters. There's a few that stand out, but there aren't like really tremendous characters across the board. And there's no doubt that this game has that same affliction. Some of them are kind of cool, but even the ones that are good, like actor Josh Duhamel plays a sergeant. In this game, and he does a pretty good job, like a really good job actually. But even the characters that are good characters are not. I mean, they're like typical characters as far as like a World War II adventure would go. You know what I mean? You have like your staple characters like from a list. Like you got to have this guy and this guy and this guy, and they're all in this game. So it's like from that aspect, it's got some issues too, but. Here's where it doesn't have some issues, and that is in the gameplay and the variety of stuff that you can do and the maps themselves and the graphics and the sound and everything else about the game is really, really good. And if you like World War II, Call of Duty era, World War II stuff, I cannot believe that you would not like this game. So I think if you're a World War II guy, if you're specifically a Call of Duty fan who preferred the games when they were in World War II, I don't see how you could not like this game. So give it a shot. Number four is Crash Bandicoot: The Insane Trilogy. Now, I don't think there's too many people out there who've listened to this podcast who would not get that I'm a huge Crash Bandicoot fan. So that has something to do with this. I freaking loved the original three games from the PS1, and that is exactly what this is. It's the original three games, basically a total conversion of the original three games, complete update as though they were brand new, new graphics, new sound, new everything. And it's basically the same play control, more or less. I think they've upped the difficulty a little bit, and I said that in my snapshot review earlier this year, but I really do believe they upped the difficulty a little because I don't remember them being quite this hard. But if you're a Crash Bandicoot fan, again, you're going to love this. And if you're a platformer fan, I think you're going to love this. So right now it's exclusive to PS4. We'll see if it goes anywhere after this, but I would love a new Crash game, and I loved Crash Bandicoot: The Insane Trilogy. Number three, and this is one that I think people, if they were reading this list, would be like, "What?" Number three is The Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild on the Nintendo Switch.
Okay.
Yeah. Again, this game, I voted for it for Switch Game of the Year, and I think it's every bit of that. And I think if you are playing the Nintendo Switch, if you're picking up a Nintendo Switch, you really should pick up this game. But it's not one of the games that I had the most fun with this past year. The top two games, I should say. Now, number two is Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle. I played the hell out of this game. I absolutely loved it. And it even got me to the point where I would say that I really, really, really want more turn-based strategy games on the Switch, because I just think they're incredibly fun and the console is great for them. Yeah, I adored this game. I spoke about it a lot already, so I won't get into it. But if you are a strategy fan or you like Mario, don't give it a second thought. Take a look at this, because I think you're going to love it. And number one is Super Mario Odyssey. Mario Odyssey I played even more than Mario plus Rabbids. This is a terrific platformer, adventure game, whatever. It's a lot of fun. I did have some issues with it. I wasn't crazy about the fact that there were no like traditional Super Mario power-ups, and I didn't think there were enough traditional Super Mario enemies in it, and, you know, stuff like that. And I thought like the Cappy gimmick was fun, but I did, you know, I don't know if I would want to play another one like this. But as a one-off, I absolutely adore this, and I think it's a great game. And if you're a Mario fan and you got a Switch or you're getting a Switch or whatever, again, this is a game that you should absolutely be picking up. Tons of cool little nods to past Mario games and even Mario tropes like Donkey Kong and stuff like that. It's great. It's great. It's a great game. And that was my favorite game from 2017.
Cool.
Nice.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. So with that, we are ready to divulge the console of the year and the game of the year.
Yes.
Are you guys ready?
I think so. And you know, Eric, I just happened to glance because I have all the BGA stuff queued up, and I just happened to glance down and I saw the post for our games of the year last year, and we actually had a triple tie last year between Doom, Overwatch, and Dishonored 2.
Wow.
Really?
So I just thought it would be fun to mention that, because I don't even remember that triple tie.
That's pretty hilarious. Really funny. I didn't even remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember that either. And today we still have, by the way, a few more little things to announce. The first one is handheld or VR game of the year.
Where are these, actually?
This is actually in the game of the year post, and it's just a few little odds and ends.
Okay.
So the handheld or VR game of the year obviously did not go to a VR game because they all stink. So this went to a handheld game that was basically split between Etrian Odyssey 5 and Metroid Samus Returns, and we picked Metroid Samus Returns as the handheld game of the year. I don't think there's any surprise there. This is a great game. It won a game of the month from us, and if you're a Metroid fan, I think you got to pick this up. Eric, you wrote the review of this, right?
I did. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Great Metroid. Great 2D Metroid game.
And our PC game of the year. This is a little bit controversial, I understand, because I understand there's a lot of people who didn't like this game, but Warhammer 40K Dawn of War 3-1. And this actually is, I mean, it's a real-time strategy game, obviously. It's in the Dawn of War series. Benj wrote the review on this, and he got like eaten up by this game. He freaking loved it, and it actually made him interested in the Warhammer 40K lore, which apparently he read like a friggin' ton of it after he started playing this game. So any game that can do that, I think, is a pretty good title. So if you have a PC, if you're a PC gamer, you maybe skip this one because maybe you heard some not so great things about it. I think you should go take a look.
Cool.
But that's it for our quote unquote lesser awards. If you want to move us on, Eric.
Awesome. So Xbox One Game of the Year. Cuphead. we'll run through these real quick.
Yeah.
PS Game of the Year, Persona 5, Nintendo Switch Game of the Year, Breath of the Wild, and the final Game of the Year.
Our overall.
Actually, should we do the Console of the Year first?
Sure.
All right. We got the Xbox One, X, the PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch, or PC. And we gave it to
the Nintendo Switch.
What?
Yes. You know,
we've been gushing over this for like an hour and a half. I don't know if we need to go into this right now.
No, it's awesome.
You know, most of our, like a lot of our lists were made up of Switch games. So
yeah.
Yeah, they were.
I was surprised how much.
It's console quality with a handheld portability. It's great.
That should be the tagline.
There we go.
Console quality, handheld portability.
Get on it.
Guys, ready? Game of the Year. Nominees are Persona 5, The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, Cuphead, Battle Chef Brigade, and Super Mario Odyssey. And the winner is...
The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild. Shocking.
Yeah.
I don't think it's much of a surprise at this point. We've talked about it, much like this you just mentioned with the Switch, Eric, this whole show. Breath of the Wild is a high watermark. You should go play it. It's awesome. And I think it's very well deserving of our Game of the Year.
Yeah.
It's really good. Okay, guys. So that's it. That's what we got. We can go through what we're playing real quick, I guess.
Sure.
What you playing, Rick?
I'm playing Homefront.
Nice. Cool.
It's a lot of fun. I'm expecting that. And it's turned out to be really good. And it looks amazing on the Xbox X. So, yeah. Check it out.
Awesome. Yeah. How about you, Jason? What you playing?
Well, I want to play Homefront, too, since Rick started playing it. He said it's so great. I picked it up at the sale over the holidays, and I haven't touched it yet, so I want to get into that. But I am playing Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2, which I'm really enjoying, playing that on the Switch, and I am playing still WWE 2K18, which I'm also really enjoying on the Switch.
Cool. I am playing Pokemon Crystal and Monster Hunter. That's it.
What's that last one?
What? No.
What?
Huh?
Huh? What was that last one?
That's it.
What?
So here we go, guys. That's it.
Oh, well, okay.
All right.
I have not played enough of that to make any judgments on it yet. Maybe next week I'll go into it more.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's it.
So you got I've first?
Also reading, I've also been reading a book about the assassination of James Garfield, so.
Ooh.
All right, guys. I think that's about it for us.
Good.
Thanks for listening. I'm Eric. Joined by, as always, by
Rick. Woohoo! Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, everyone. I think Jason... Is Jason here? He's a clicking boy. But he says thanks for listening as well. And we'll catch you next week. Thanks, everybody. We're out.